It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, roving, intrepid, etc. reporter. Ruth, what's going on out there?
Well...
And hello.
And hello. Good morning. There are issues brewing in North Canaan on the ballots for the November election. To remind you all, there's been issues between the selectman and the town clerk. She had claimed harassment, and she stopped coming into the office, and if you remember the story, and there was some turmoil there, and they stopped paying her, and now comes the election, and she was a Republican, and now she is running for the seat on the Democratic ticket. First Selectman Brian Oler questioned the validity of the ballot that the Democrats filed with the state, and brought the issue to legal aspects. And so there was a court hearing on Friday. I understand it ran for about 3 hours, and there were testimony on both sides as to, you know, the legality of the actual form and what was signed and what wasn't signed. I'm really not quite up to speed on the exact charges, but the hearing is going to continue sometime this week. We do know that.
All right. So. Now, is this with the SEC or the Secretary of State's office?
Apparently, the Secretary of State said that is not under her purview. So okay. It's at SEC at this point, which is the Elections Committee.
Yeah. So. The State Elections Enforcement Committee.
Commission, right. Enforcement Committee. So
now, is this what it's commission? Is this about a primary ballot, or is this the coming November ballot?
Coming November.
Okay. And so she went through, she got on the ballot by the Democrats putting her there, yes?
Correct.
Not through a primary or anything?
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
So then, yes. I guess, yeah, like you're saying, so what's the problem?
Yeah, something about...
Answer that question, can I just ask, does this go back to what was going on in the springtime?
Well, I mean, not officially, but...
Unofficially. Well, okay, now answer my question.
Certainly all seems to be a chain that you could link, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same...
You were in that department, my
same characters, you know, in this debate, it's more than a debate. So, as they say, the judge stopped it at 5 o'clock and said, you know, it's time to close up here, and so they will continue it. But no specific date was put in. But I understand it's going to be continued this week sometime.
Yeah, it's going to have to be in order for them to get the ballots and everything finalized and.
Yeah,
procedurally to be good to go on it. So now if I'm getting this right. Now, they have not been paying her because she's not coming in, but on the other side, she is an elected official.
Correct.
And so is there something going on in the court with that? Because it seems to me that you have to pay them.
I don't
guess.
Yeah, it's
because the an elected official doesn't
necessarily
to the board. I mean, they control the funding, yes, the Board of Finance, the Board of Selectmen, but, you know, you've got an elected official who you've had some hassles with, but, you know, I'm just, this whole case sounds very strange.
Well, it's twisted.
Oh, that's
involved.
That's being nice about it.
So, yeah, I mean, they are not paying her. The assistant town clerk who had been there has been working, and then they hired the executive assistant who is actually the selectman's, I mean, quite frankly, the selectman's secretary. He works for the selectman every day. They put him in there also as an assistant town clerk, but as we know, it's a very complicated job. You can't just...
Yeah, because even with that, if you're in an elected office, I believe that the people you hire, like your assistant and all, are answerable to the actual elected official, which in this case is not the Board of Selectmen. Yeah, this has got so many... This
yeah,
is like,
twists and turns here.
This is like the Swiss tree... Swiss cheese.
Were they trying to take this position off the ballot, or... Is that,
No. It's a matter of who's running and whether the Democratic submission... I understand it was lacking one little piece and they on this ballot, something inconsequential, I believe, and that's what triggered this whole thing. So, but it stems from all the turmoil that's been going on. So,
in this particular arena with this particular town, or
yes,
other, okay,
yes, yeah.
Now, did they abandon the effort to put? I thought they were putting on the ballot or going to town meeting with the idea of changing this to an appointed or hired position.
I believe
is that still in play?
Thank you, Mike, because that's I was trying to...
That's still in play,
I believe that's still in play,
yeah.
But...
But
is
that
it
can't,
the same
that,
position, or
no,
is it a different...
This position and this, tax collector and...
It's all the same. The only difference is instead of being on a ballot, they would be hired by the Board of Selectmen and such.
No, I understand. I just didn't know what I was remembering, as you just so articulately pointed out. What I was remembering was that there was some question about whether it was going to be elected or appointed.
Yes.
So that's what I was...
that the Selectmen have... deemed to put it on the ballot.
Right.
However, if it fails, then the people who are running are elected.
Well, I don't think even if it passes that would affect this particular term. My interpretation would be that this would be something if it were, now it's on the November ballot, right?
Correct.
They're doing it as a referendum, actually.
Correct.
And so it's separate from the ballot itself. As a referendum, I'm not going to, pick feathers over that one. It's either it's on some kind of a ballot regardless.
Right.
But with it passing and with it being the ballot, I don't think legally that takes effect until the next cycle.
That might be so. I honestly,
it depends on how you word it.
There's legalities that come down from the state too as to when these kind of things can occur.
Yeah, now that's an interesting question, Mike. I don't know.
Yeah, a certain amount of time, and you already have the process going, and you may have an elected person. You're going to have somebody elected to it.
Looks like you're going to.
And you can't just pull that plug.
Looks like you're going to have two or three people.
I think you're going to do a lot of court cases here. Hope the town of North Cana's got a big account for lawyers. All right. Well,
we're
running out of time. Let's go.
We beat this dead horse around enough. So
it's quite an issue. I mean, I've never had anything like this happen. I mean, I've never covered anything like this before. So.
Yeah, I don't.
Can I just say that just goes to show you go out there and you think, oh, it's just the same old stuff.
Right. And there it comes.
That's pretty cool.
That's the enjoyment of this job, or the maybe not so enjoyable. But
we're going to go with the enjoyment. Did anything?
In this case, it's like you're playing
moving
detective.
Kent Planning and Zoning had a hearing the other night on its 13-unit affordable housing project that is set to propose to go. Sort of behind the town transfer station and Public Works Garage and next to South Common, which is already an affordable housing project. And this is through Kent Affordable Housing. It's a nonprofit. Gave a thorough speech and explanation. They've been working on this for over 2 years. It's on a piece of property that is now town-owned, 1.15 acres, with the stipulation that, the town would give it over to KAH once all the approvals are met. So it was going rather smoothly until someone said there was some question about stormwater drainage, and then someone suggested maybe the town engineer should look at it. Of course, the KAH has an engineer, but someone suggested it, and the commissioners agreed. So it looked like it was going to go through, and then it took this little twist. And so they've tabled this until next month to have the town engineer look at it because of the questionable stormwater drainage issue. People were a little bit dismayed. They thought, you know, this would that it had gone through inland wetlands and everything was okay, and they thought it would pass that night. And but the kicker is now the engineer will look at it, the town engineer, but KAH has to pay for the engineers.
That's what I was going to ask you. Now, here's an interesting thing, because, you know, this happened over in Lakeville with the where the ice cream store is now.
Yeah.
They wanted their engineer, the town's engineer, to look at his engineer's stuff, and he had to pay for that.
That's it.
And,
that's
you know,
yeah.
here's an issue. I'll do a little pontificating here, if you don't mind. You have these engineers are all licensed. So qualifications are there, and the idea that you have one engineer checking another engineer's work and you're charging the applicant for that basically falls. There's a court case, and I'll have to pull it out, that was in the Supreme Court in the last year that essentially flags this kind of thing, because somebody sued over it where they keep adding fees and they keep making you pay. You're now making them pay twice for a professional service.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who determines which one of these engineers is more qualified? That is a rather absurd thing to do to the applicants, and it starts putting more pressure on the applicants financially and hurting where they're going. And the Supreme Court basically ruled that when this kind of thing happens, that they can call that what's called a taking. Essentially, they are taking your property and the use of it from you. Because they're putting onerous fees and things on you and requesting things to be redone. And especially in this case, you have a fully certified engineer. Unless they can give me something about that engineer being in court and having problems and everything.
All right, so stop.
Hang on. Let me finish. So why is it that anybody would allow them to check the work of somebody unless the particular engineer you're checking has some kind of a record of not doing the job right? And then, of course, I don't think that engineer would have a license anymore.
So do me a favor.
So that's
cite the Supreme Court.
I don't know the case
listening.
Exactly. I have to look it up.
Okay.
So I'll have
that's
to bring
an interesting,
it back.
Yeah, so obviously it is in all the zoning regulations that if there's another engineer called in, the applicant pays for it. And that's the issue here.
I mean,
that's one of the issues. But anyway, it's going to be continued till the next month.
I
just think
KAH people, you know, on top of the time constraints that they're trying to get through, it's more money. And they said, you know, we've spent over $200,000 already. A nonprofit. It's tough.
Yeah, there you go. Look at that. And you take that, just that example, and say you've got a young family that's inherited a piece of property, they want to build a house. This is an example of what it can cost you just to get through these boards and commissions who will have professionals checking professionals' work. Now, maybe somebody should check their work.
And maybe we should all, this is a perfect moment to mention, at least one of my favorite things is the Chevron Doctrine, which casts some doubt on the existence of all of these things that are in the way of just doing what you need to do.
Well, that's a whole another issue.
All right, now that we've turned into
on a nice note, I was up at the Ag Fair in Cornwall this Saturday, a beautiful day, paying homage to the agricultural heritage of the town, and lovely time, lots of animals and people judging vegetables and old machines, and it was a lovely day, and it takes away from all the stress and strain of all these other issues that are going on.
And you didn't get poured on?
I didn't get poured on.
This is news.
I was interviewing a fellow who owned some goats, and the goat took a big chunk out of the paper I was writing on. So it was quite entertaining. Looking ahead, we have, as we mentioned, elections coming up. So we have two meet and greets, or whatever you call it, in Salisbury on Sunday, the 21st, the Republicans are having theirs at the Town Grove from 2 to 4, free ice cream, and come and meet the candidates. And, Mike, am I right, the 28th, they're Democrats? leave?
I don't know right at the moment.
I have something that says, I assume it's this year, the 9th, September 28th, 4 to 7 at the Grove. So
we'll check it.
Yeah, just make sure on that. So it is election season. Signs are going up all around, and people better get out and vote. It's even more, not more important, but very important local elections. So, and that's what we've got.
Well, it has certainly been a most edifying edition. And I hope I hope you're having fun out there, because that's the most important thing.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. We'll be following up on these things. So.
I think it's unavoidable. I think we're going to have to.
Keeps you busy, and you've been doing it in nice weather lately, too.
Very nice.
That was the point of the Saturday streak, what I mentioned. But the goats, actually, frankly, more.
Oh, here. I have the case here, by the way. In April, the Supreme Court held in Sheets versus County of El Dorado, California, that the Takings Clause of the United States Constitution applies to legislative land use conditions such as impact fees, on and on and on. And essentially, the interpretations have said that, you know, you are charging excessive fees because, again, and I'm going to point to this, you're having one professional check another professional. Both are on the same reason. You have no reason to question the first professional. That's my interpretation on that side. But anyway, that's the case that happened, was ruled back in April. April of 24.
And just to add on to that, that's right around the time of the Chevron Doctrine. So people, you know, Chevron deference, Chevron Doctrine, and this, it's there. It is actually, wouldn't you agree, Mike, worth looking at?
Well, yeah, you're somewhat looking at that in the case that these regulations are being made by they're elected by problem, because in case they're saying that the agencies that they establish. So in this case, you're talking a Planning and Zoning Commission. The only thing they have other than them that makes decisions is the zoning administrator they hire. So effectively, if you want my interpretation of that, Chevron would not apply in this case, because it's the actual lawmakers that are making the rules.
People need to know it's out there, and
you can count on one hand
the number of people who do.
I'm just applying it in this particular situation.
I'm sorry.
It's necessary to apply it so people can visualize it rather than saying, here's a court case and all. But I'll see if I can bring back more on this court case, too, because I remember it drew a red flag with me over a year ago when I saw it, because I said, this is time.
So shall I go back to thanking Ruth?
Thank you, Ruth.
No, thank you, Mike. And now, once again, thank you, Ruth, our roving, rambling, intrepid, got to throw in intrepid again, reporter. With the latest edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, on Robin Hood Radio.